We are now going to read from our Bible. Let's start in Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 16. Jesus sends out the 12. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth. It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Our second reading is from the letter to Ephesians, and that is from chapter 6 and verses 10 to 19. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word. We're going to sing a song when we walk with the Lord. No, we're not. We're going to sing a song, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision, and it will be followed by our archived sermon, which I'm sure we will gain a great deal from.
Last week we looked at journeying with God, and today I'd like to look a bit more with you about the tools that we are provided with for the journey. And it's not just us who were provided with them, but the disciples were provided with them right at the very beginning. Now, please note that when the disciples were called, just like we are called, we're not drafted, we're not forced, we're not asked to volunteer, we're called. It's a very different thing to think. These 12 that we just read about this morning are a very diverse group, aren't they? Lots of different personalities as we read through the Gospels. There were fishermen, there was a tax collector, there was political activists, there were ordinary folk, rich folk, poor folk, educated, uneducated. So a crowd of folk, just like a crowd of us here today. You don't need to be a certain type of person or have a certain type of education to follow Christ. He accepts us all, and he can use us all, no matter how insignificant we may feel and how lacking in special gifts we may feel. Now, the 12 were told to go out, but initially only to the Jews. Now, the Jews were God's chosen nation, and Jesus came first to the Jews, but it was these same Jews who became Christians who then went out across the Roman Empire to gradually spread the good news, and from there it has spread throughout the world. The good news is for all, regardless of sex, national origin, race, whatever. All are invited. Jesus tells his disciples to go out and heal the sick, drive out demons, cleanse those with leprosy, and raise the dead. These were often seen as spiritual sicknesses, perhaps a little different to how we might see some of these things now. And Jesus is talking about a spiritual kingdom, which wasn't quite what the Jews had envisaged when they talked about a Messiah. They had thought one would come who would overrule the politics of the Roman Empire and bring back the glory days of David and Solomon. And you know, sometimes we're a bit like that. We want something that will overrule what's going on now and take us back to something that we think is better. But Jesus wants us to overrule with him and to move forward. And that is a much more positive thing to be doing. Jesus is talking about a spiritual kingdom in this passage, and he advises his disciples to take with them no extra clothing, no extra shoes, no extra anything, basically. What he says is, a workman will earn his own keep. Jesus also reminds them that they have freely received from him and from other people, but particularly from him, the gifts that he is giving them, and that they should freely give. We too are in that position. We have been given freely so many gifts from God, and we need to freely use them to share the good news with others. So, how would you do if you were sent out like this? Not allowed to take anything very much with you? What do you take in your holiday bag? Is it a bit like what the children had in theirs? You maybe don't take quite so many toys. Well, I'd like to take that tale a wee bit further. A few years ago, I went to Malawi and my luggage did disappear completely. And all I had was my hand luggage. And in my hand luggage, I had my tools for the trade. And I think I had a spare T-shirt, a wash bag, and probably a spare pair of knickers. And that was it. And the clothes I stood up in. And you've arrived in a strange country, and you're not quite sure what you're going to be asked to do when you get there, and that's it. But you know, it was amazing. People came up and said, oh, I've got a spare this, you're about my size. Somebody else said, I've got this collection of clothes which are given to give out to people. Come and choose something. Another lady said, I'm going home in a few days. When I go, you can have my sandals. And somebody else, one of the nurses, who was about my height and my build, came up quite quietly one day and handed me something and said, you might need those. And she gave me 3 pairs of knickers. Just what you need. So it was amazing the way God looked after me in that situation. And it kind of made me feel, I'm okay here. I'm going to manage. I'm going to cope. They also took me down to the market and helped me buy some shatengas. That's these long strips of material that you just wrap around yourself, which was the normal fashion, if you like, in Malawi. So I was really looked after. And I had my own tools for the trade, so that helped too. But what about the tools for the trade that we as Christians are given on our journey? Paul wrote about these when he was in prison in Rome. And I love the way he's used the picture, well, how it says how I think about it, the picture of a Roman soldier. And he's used all the different bits of the Roman soldier's armour to depict the gifts that we are being given as Christians to go out into the world. I was looking at this in Eugene Peterson's The Message, and he actually doesn't talk about the armour, but this is what he says. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon that God has issued, so that when it's all over, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And in the same way, prayer is essential for our ongoing walk and journey with Christ and through our lives, and for the ongoing warfare that we're up against in the spiritual domain, which we are living in every day. Pray long and hard. Pray for your brothers and sisters, and keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up. Again, we take up Jesus' theme of a spiritual kingdom. We struggle not with flesh and blood, but with the powers of this dark world and with evil spiritual forces. We also need prayer as a regular tool for others and for ourselves. We just need to look at the world today to see the evil forces at work there. This was something I probably never really thought much about until a number of years ago, and then in my professional life, and also in Africa, I have come across the forces of evil at work on a very definitive basis. On one occasion, I was in a study group, and we were all praying, and the person next to me was praying in tongues, which some people do. But it was very obvious to me that it was not a friendly tongue. I really found this very disturbing and distressing. I wanted to object, but I couldn't open my mouth. That was very scary. However, somebody else a little bit further away was able to respond to this, and was able to help the person see what was happening. They were being used by, if you like, an evil spirit. This kind of situation is not common like that. But if you look at the world around you, these kind of things are going on all the time. We're in a world that does not want God's message of love, joy, peace, mercy, and grace to succeed. And we need to be wearing his armor at all times. So maybe we should have a mantra first thing in the morning to remind us to put it on and combine it with prayer. And by prayer, I mean more than just a quiet time each day. I mean an ongoing conversation with God. I remember being struck many years ago when I read in Michel Quoist's book where he talks about the whole of life becoming a prayer. Now there's a thought. And it doesn't need to be, you don't need to sit down and shut your eyes. You can, as you walk down the street, you may see somebody that you know who is having a difficulty, or maybe not, and you can just pray for them as you go. As you walk past somebody's house, as you're walking around town, wherever you are, little prayers, asking for his help in all the things that we do. And I was very conscious of this when I was out with street pastors last night, how, okay, we blether, yes, we blether, but we also are, we stop talking and we are praying for the situations that we may find ourselves in or for the people that we're seeing on the streets. And we know this makes a difference. I believe this will help us on our journey, just as my tools of the trade have helped me through part of my life journey. It will certainly make us stronger and more able to stand up to whatever the world throws at us. I believe it will also help us to lay down and leave the things we carry with us, which are a burden to us and limit our effectiveness as Christians. And it can be very different things for each of us. And you may bring it to the Lord and you think you've given it to him. And then it recurs and it recurs again. I'd just like to ask you for a moment or two of quiet reflection to bring some of these things that keep recurring, which you really want to leave with Jesus. And let's ask the Lord now to take these things from us. And as will probably happen, when we have brought these things to the Lord and asked him to take them for us, we've left them with us, somewhere inside a little voice will say, "Hang on a minute, did you really leave it?" Or it will recur to us again and again. And I would suggest to you that this may be one of the ways that the evil one has a go at us. And I would suggest that we remind ourselves that these things that we've given to him are in the Lord's hands. He is dealing with them and that we no longer need to carry them. This can take a fair amount of effort as the evil one will continually try to wear us down. And that's one little way he does it, and I'm sure we can all relate to this. But our Lord has the victory. So keep going. Keep reminding yourselves you've given it up. And we'll find ourselves more useful in God's service as we no longer carry the unnecessary. He has given us the tools to walk with him, to walk in his light. Let's use them. None of this would be possible if it were not for Jesus, as Isaiah tells us, who would be lifted up and highly exalted. What kind of God is this who chooses to save the world through a humble, suffering servant rather than a glorious king? It's contrary to human pride and worldly ways. But oh, we are so grateful for his life, his strength, shown in mercy, humility, and suffering. He fully understands our human condition and walks through it with us into life, spelt with capital letters. our sinful life is being stripped away. We are being reclothed in Christ's goodness. And as we use his tools, his righteousness, his truth, his peace, his spirit, we will continue to journey with him, knowing that through him, we too can be victorious.